The first offense is blaspheming the Lord's devotee. Anyone, it does not matter that your spiritual master is devotee and nobody is devotee. No. The devotee, the life of devotee is already explained that he is fixed up in God. He has no other business than to think of God, talk of God, preaching of God. He is a devotee. It does not matter whether he is born this country or that province or this planet or that planet. Anyone whose life is simply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in thoughts of God, he is a devotee. So, we should not blaspheme that our process is better, your process is. That is due to ignorance. So, this is offense, blaspheming the devotee. And then considering the lords and the demigods on the same level, or assuming that there are many gods. God is one. It is nonsense to think that there are many gods. If there are many gods, then there is no meaning of God. Ekameva dityam. The Veda says God is one without any second, without any competitor. If God has competitor, then he is not God. The definition of God is that supreme. So if there are many, then how God can be supreme? God is great. God is great means nobody is greater than him, nobody is equal to him. Everybody is under him. You may have very high qualifications, but you cannot be equal to God. God is one. Therefore, the Mayavadi's philosophy that you can accept by imagination any form of God, and that is all right. No. You should have actually the form of God. Just like Krishna says, Mam Ekam. Ekam means only one unto me. Of course, there are many other forms of God, but in order to concentrate your mind perfectly, you should always think of Krishna. Mam Ekam Saranam Bhaja. So, we do not accept this nonsense philosophy that any name we chant, it becomes God's. No. God's name. Of course, the God's name may be sounding just like you say water, I say jol. But mean that object is the same. Similarly, if you have got actually any name for God, that's all right. Otherwise, take to Krishna. Krishna means all attract. And God's name cannot be otherwise. If God is not all attractive, then he is not God. If God is attractive for a certain type of man or certain class of man and is not attractive for others, then he is not God. So, you see Krishna's activities, Krishna's bodily feature, Krishna's instruction, there is one sublime. Sublime. Therefore, he is God. And it is not our sentiment, but it is confirmed by the Vedic literature. Bhagavad says, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Brahma Sanghita says, Ishara Parama Krishna. There are many gods, demigods, but God is one. Arjuna said, Parabrahma. Every living entity is Brahma. But he is Parabrahma, the Supreme Brahma. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Matta Paratara Nasti Kinchidasti Dhananja. There is nothing more superior than me. So these are, we have to take evidences from the Shastra, Krishnastu Bhagavan, some. So nobody should think that if I chant the name of this demigod or that demigod, is equal to chant the name of Hari or Krishna. No, that is an offense. This is third offense. Then, neglecting the orders of the spiritual master. The beginning of initiation is to voluntarily accept the spiritual master to abide by his order. So if you disobey his order, then it is offense. This is fourth offense. The fifth offense, interpreting the holy name of God. Interpreting, because we have got very fertile brain, we can interpret in so many ways. Maya gives us such knowledge, this way and that way, that way. No, don't try to interpret. Therefore we are presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is, no interpretation. Krishna says that Mam ekam saranam braja. Krishna says, just surrender unto me. And we are teaching, just surrender to Krishna. Is there any difference? No difference. They are speaking, we are actually the representative of Krishna. Krishna says, surrender unto me. And we, in the disciplic succession of this Krishna consciousness movement, we are also speaking, just surrender to Krishna. We do not imitate, do not interpret that this me means me. The Mayavadi philosopher, they say, the me, everyone can say me means I, unto me. But is that grammatically correct? If I say that, please give me a glass of water. Now, if every one of you say, this me means me, so if you take every one of us, you want a glass of water? This is nonsense interpreting. But the Mayavadi philosophers, because they are atheists, because they do not accept the existence of God, they interpret the Shastras in different way, so that, but that cannot stand. That may be very nice to some foolish man, but actually, if they meet some intelligent man, then they are divided. So this sort of interpretation is useless. Committing sin on the strength of chanting. Now, this is your beginning of life. This chanting means whatever you have done in your past life, sinful, that is now squared up. But you should not anymore commit sin. The four pillars of sinful life is this. Are this. What is that? That illicit sex, that intoxication, meat eating, and what is that? Gambling. These are the four pillars, just like your table stands on the four legs, or this house stands on four legs, four wheel, its car stands. Simply sinful life personified stands on these four pillars. If you break these four pillars, then it has no standing. So now, whatever has been done, is done. That is not your disqualification. This Krishna consciousness movement does not say that, first of all, you, just like other Shastras say, atonement, or you pay some fine for your sinful life. No. Every conditioned soul is apt to commit so many sins, knowingly or unknowingly. So whatever is done, is done. Now from this day, no more sinful life. Don't think, I am chanting Hare Krishna, so this is a counteracting method. So let me commit this sinful act and it will be counteracted because I am chanting. Don't do that. You don't believe in that way. Not that is, just like somebody says that you commit sin, but you confess and you are, that's all right. By confessing, your sinful reaction is eradicated. But if you commit again, that is foolishness. This example I have given you several times. It's like if you have committed something wrong, you go to the court, criminal. If you say, my Lord, I did not know this, unlawful. Next time I shall be careful, I shall not do it. Then there is excuse. But if next time you go to the court and you say, please excuse, there is no excuse. So, this confession, once is right, twice is right, thrice is right, fourth time you are severely punished. That is common sense. So you do not commit sin because you, by mistake, you might commit some sin. That may be excused. But if you take it a business that because I am chanting Hare Krishna mantra, therefore I can commit this sin, there is no reaction. No, there is an offense. It is a great offense. Then, seventh offense, instructing the glories of the Lord's name to the unfaithful. This chanting of Hare Krishna mantra we offer when one has become faithful. So many students come to us, but we see, first of all, that he is now faithful, he is faithfully discharging. So we generally allow 6 months' time to see how he is faithfully executing. Then we offer this beads. Otherwise, if he is faithless, then after some time he'll give it up. For the spiritual master, it is also offense if one is faithless. This chanting of beads should not be given to him. This is an offense. And then, comparing the holy name with material piety. Just like this function we are holding today, it is not to be considered as some pious activity. It is transcendental. Pious activity can give you some reward in this material world, but this activity is beyond this material world. It will give you place back to home, back to Godhead. So don't compare with ordinary pious activity. Just like somebody gives in charity, somebody makes something, religious activities. It is beyond religion. Beyond religion. The Krishna consciousness movement is beyond all religion. It is the postgraduate study of all religion. So don't compare with any pious activity. Then, in attention while chanting the holy name. Now you should chant this Hare Krishna and you should hear also. If your mind is acting, your mind is somewhere else, and you are chanting, that is an offense. You should hear, this is called samadhi. If you chant and hear, then your mind is interlocked by hearing and chanting. This is samadhi. Samadhi means trance. Trance means completely absorbed. So, by hearing and chanting, acting both ways, you will be in trance. And that trance will keep you in the transcendental state. That is called samadhi. So, if we become inattentive, that is offense. And attachment to material things while engaged in the practice of chanting. We should always remember that we are trying to be elevated to the spiritual platform. So, spiritual platform means no more anxiety for sense gratification. That is spiritual platform. Material platform means everyone is hankering after sense gratification. All the people, they are working day and night very hard. The aim is sex at night, that's all. Sense gratification. Kurmi means they cannot work if they have no facility for sex. But these devotees of Krishna, their aim is how to satisfy Krishna. That is the difference. This is the difference between spiritual life and material life. Material life means everyone is trying to how to satisfy his sex. And spiritual life means he is also trying in the same way, but his aim is how to satisfy Krishna. So my occupation to satisfy something, that will continue. You cannot stop it. But spiritual life means to satisfy Krishna. And material life means satisfy my senses. That is it. So in every action, if you put this test, whether you are satisfying your senses or you are satisfying your Krishna, you can test it. And as soon as you see that I am satisfying my whims and senses, then it is not Krishna. In this way, make progress, and if you fail sometimes, Krishna will excuse you, but you must be very much strict guarding against this fall down, then your elevation will be very quick and it will be very sound. So follow these principles of offenses.